Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Remember this music? You're too young. Sweating in the basements of Queens, the crew cuts, the back seats with plastic seat covers in the wintertime in Alley Pond Park. It's 10 degrees outside, but nothing can stop a teenager in love. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yeah, well, we got a great show for you today. It's about a missing plane, a missing president, the missing media, missing parents, missing preachers, and about don't tell, do ask. Welcome to the program. The phone number is 855-407-2282. I guess I could go to open mic because all of you want to talk about your theories on where the plane went. It didn't take a genius. I guess everyone except the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, DHS, and the National Transportation Safety Board figured out it was a terrorism within 3 seconds of its occurrence. They're still deciding when they're going to fly to Malaysia to investigate the missing plane. But the average person can use common sense and figure it out. Let's see. Let's put the pieces together. Plane disappears off the screen. Plane has flown out of a largely Muslim nation that's been intimately involved, inadvertently perhaps, maybe not so, in terrorism acts in the sky before. And they still can't figure it out. Meanwhile, they're quick to tell us that the two people who used stolen passports were not Asian in appearance. But then you have to read all the way down in the article to read that one of them is African in appearance. Well, what does that mean? Well, unto itself, nothing. But unto itself, maybe something. After all, there are Libyans involved with Al-Qaeda, aren't there? Or you haven't followed the bouncing ball recently. Meanwhile, the missing president is in the news. After vacationing at the $2,500 a night Ocean Reef Club in Key Largo this weekend, Barack and Michelle came back looking quite rested. Third vacation of the year. Squeezing in another round of golf on Sunday, while the vice president jetted off to the Virgin Islands for the weekend while war fever brewed. Meanwhile, the White House says, oh, this is nothing. The president just needs a little vacation. And really, what the president was doing in Florida over the weekend is frankly what he could have done if he stayed at the White House, said the spokesmouth. The president was looking forward to getting a little bit of downtime in the warm weather with his wife and daughters. Where's Waldo? Where's Barack Obama? Meanwhile, I told you last week, and I was heavily criticized for it, that it was the neocons who wanted another war. Yes, I said it was the neocons who wanted another war. Yes, I wrote it was the neocons who wanted another war. And what happened to prove I was right once again? What happened was the king of the neocons, Dick Cheney, came out, and he said use military options against Putin. Who was right, me or my fake conservative detractors? Listen to clip one. Dick Cheney says,
I worry when we begin to address a crisis by the first thing we do is take options off the table. I don't think the administration should do that. In the sense of saying that no military. He seems to operate that way most of the time. There are military options that don't involve putting troops on the ground in Crimea.
Military options that don't involve putting troops on the ground in Crimea. And what might those military options be? Let's see, nuclear war would be one. Firing cruise missiles would be number two. In either case, it's Cheney again looking for a hot war because... Does anyone still remember how to say Halliburton? Hal-E-Bur-Ton. Hal-E-Bur-Ton. Halliburton, 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 Halliburton. Or you could say halitosis. Or you could say halibut. But Halliburton would be the correct word to use, the operational word. It's not halitosis, although I don't know his dentist nor his dental work. I could say halibut, but I don't know if he eats fish after the heart surgery. It's hard to say that he wouldn't. I would say Halliburton is the operational word with Dick Cheney, and Halliburton's a defense contractor. Now, why in the world would Cheney and the neocons, who I called out by name last week, want another war? Simple. Money, follow the bouncing ball. 855-407-2282. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, the most corrupt city in the United States of America, some fire department officials make over $300,000 a year. That's right. You heard me. They haven't put out a fire ever since they started. Many of them can't even lift up a hose. But the San Francisco's best paid worker in 2013 was Fire Department Battalion Chief Samson Lai, who made $347,000 for sleeping in the firehouse. That's $131,000 in overtime and $29,000 in premium pay and other incentives. I guess that's for fluffing the chief's pillow. Mr. Lai, who works at Station 2 at Powell and Broadway, earned more than his own boss, Fire Chief Joanne Hayes White, $336,000 a year. As you well know, she's never put out a fire. And he also came ahead of the city's top-paid department leader, Police Chief Greg Sir, $339,000 a year. How is that possible? How is it possible that the most corrupt city in the United States of America has not had a federal strike force come in to run the city? Not only is the pay out of control, where are the missing paintings that we reported 2 weeks ago? Where are the missing fine art paintings? Over 700 of them have gone missing from the museums. Not one word from the so-called newspapers or the media. As I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, San Francisco is the most corrupt city in the United States of America, and that's why I say I never focus on it. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, you can't go into the library because the homeless are defecating in the sinks. Just when you think it couldn't get dirtier and sicker over the behavior of the degenerates in San Francisco, the library in the Civic Center has become a hotbed for homeless bathing in the sinks, dealing drugs, and pulling out their private parts in front of children. Recent notable events also include a man urinating on books and another breaking a computer with a hammer. Of course, nothing was done to them because, as you well know, they are the sacred cow of San Francisco along with a few other sacred cows. And, of course, the minute someone said, that's a sink, not a bathtub, he was immediately attacked for being, I guess, homelessist, if that's the new term, anti-homeless. There's a coalition of communists who want them to defecate in the sinks. There's a coalition for the homeless that want them to expose themselves. There's a coalition for the homeless that want them to break computers. There's a coalition for the homeless that want them to stink to high heaven so nobody else can go into the library. That's what happens when a society is broken. That's what happens when the barbarians are through the gates. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. If you get a comment on any of these topics, don't ask, don't tell. I was walking around in the mall before the show trying to calm my anger. I was looking at the propaganda posters. Everywhere I turned, more propaganda, more lies. I started to rage inside, and I said, Michael, you have a choice. I said to myself, Michael Savage, you have a choice. How many more years, months, days, hours, minutes, seconds do you have on this earth? Do you want to spend them being angry at the fact that the inmates are running the asylum? All the way from the White House to the townhouse to the city house to the Chrysler, the inmates are running the asylum. Is that what you want to get angry over every day? I said, no, God, I don't want to get angry over that every day. No, I don't. I walk past people and I see everything as I walk. Can be very few people, but I observe everything. I don't let an ant go by without looking at it. That's why I was once a biologist. I apply the same eagle eye to people that I used to apply to ants and to chemicals. And so I walk past the shoe department in Macy's. It's kind of just opened. And there's a mother with two nice children out for a stroll. And her little boy stops and picks up a pair of women's shoes. And the mommy says, do you like those shoes, Johnny? And I said unto myself, that's not an evil statement. But the mother should have said, those are nice shoes, Johnny, but they're for women. But she didn't say, those are nice shoes, Johnny, they're for women. She said, do you like those shoes, Johnny? So I realized that today the mothers don't tell their children anything. They ask them things. The child could be 1 year old and they consider themselves their friend. So I changed the new modus operandi of child rearing from what it was to what it is. And what it is don't tell, do ask. Ask Johnny and ask Janie what they feel and what they think and what they like to eat, what they like vegan. Would they like a vegan snack while people are starving all over the world? And make sure that the child gets gluten-free food. That although humanity lived on wheat for over 10,000 years, and wherever you go on the planet, whether it be Pakistan or Egypt or Guatemala, they're making tamales. They're making something out of wheat, and they're glad to have it because otherwise they'd starve to death. All of the elite snobs think that if you eat gluten-free, you found the holy grail, the key to longevity, the key to brilliance, the key to sanity. I thought to myself, And that's why I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I got to open with the tone poem, The Back of a Chrysler, which came from my show just last week. And a young man named Sam Gendel, who is a jazz saxophonist in Los Angeles, who's a devout listener of the Savage Nation, listens to my words and extracts the poetry from my prose. And then he puts music to the poetry, to my prose. And he said to me, you know, I have a lot of liberal friends in the music business in L.A. They hate you. They hate you. They hate you. But when I read them, the poems that you wrote, which I extracted from your prose, they say, holy God, the guy is running a two-track show. I had no idea Savage speaks in two tracks. In fact, no, my friends, I speak in six tracks. It depends upon where your mind is at. And so he set music to some of the tracks, such as, let's see which one I want to do now, Neil. Do we want to do Neanderthals or The Diet of the Fathers? Yeah, let's do the music to that, and then we'll go to a break on the Savage Nation. Neanderthals or The Diet of the Fathers. Never had Thai food. Always thought it was overly spiced Chinese. What did I know? We ate crispy noodles that killed half the men in Queens. Between the pastrami sandwiches and the bad noodles in the Chinese restaurants on Union Turnpike, the men didn't stand a chance. The crispy things they throw in the soup, what garbage. They died from that stuff. See, you don't know how to deal with that, because it's not about George Washington. It's not about Benjamin Franklin. It's not about Thomas Jefferson. I can't sell you a book or a hat or a shoe. I can't sell you a buckle or a bow. I can't send you a toupee with the Constitution on the inside. It's not about Rand Paul or Hand Paul or Man Paul or Grand Paul or Semi-Grand Paul or Petite Mal or Grand Mal Paul. It's not about any of those Pauls. It's not about Newt. It's not about Moot. It's not about Meat. It's not about Eat. So therefore, what can you do with it? It's worthless. It's just poetry. And I'll be back, Joetry.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
A clear majority of Americans support raising the minimum wage. Because we believe that nobody works full-time.
Here he is on a junket to Florida talking about raising the minimum wage. Does it get any more absurd than this guy? Listen to this vomit.
Don't want to vote on the minimum wage at all.
Okay, this is a man who's talking from a vacation in Florida. While war is brewing in the Balkans, he's talking about the minimum wage. Are you not cynical of this man yet? As much as I would like to have respect for Barack Obama, as much as I would like to have respect for the presidency, it turns my stomach to listen to this. It's beyond cynical. Okay, we'll move on. Missing plane, missing president, missing media, missing parents, missing preachers. Don't ask, do tell. CPAC, not interested. I'd rather talk about abs than CPAC. I'd rather talk about the six-pack that I didn't drink this weekend. I'd rather talk about how to get a six-pack than the CPAC. Not interested. Chinese group claims responsibility for missing jet. A shadowy group called the Chinese Martyrs Brigade has claimed responsibility for the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. But so-called officials in Malaysia were skeptical and said the claim could be a hoax. The group, unheard of before, on Sunday sent an email to journalists across China that said, you kill one of our clan, we will kill 100 of you as payback. And Malaysia's acting transport minister, Datuk Seri Hishmadidun Hussein, told reporters at Kuala Lumpur International Airport he doubted the claim's legitimacy. Other officials said the claim could be a hoax aimed at increasing ethnic tensions between Uyghurs, who are Muslim, by the way, and Han Chinese in the wake of the recent knife attack in the southwestern city of Kunming on March 1 that left 29 dead and injured 140 others. Now, this report comes to us from different wire sources. You notice how the useless idiots in the media just said the wake of the recent knife attack? Well, you don't know what the knife attack was. You were busy following which goon with tattoos on his soul was throwing a ball into what hoop. But I actually know who performed the knife attack. It was the Uyghurs who performed the knife attack, and it was the Han Chinese commuters who were skinned alive by them in a train station. But you wouldn't know that from reading the AP pool report, would you? No, you may as well swim at the bottom of a pool as try to figure anything out in the news media today. Okay, so the plane disappears at around 35,000 feet. Let's see, if you're 7 or 8 years old, you can figure out it blew up. Is that possible? How do you feel about Obama being disappeared over the weekend while war is brewing? How do you feel about Dick Cheney popping up like a mushroom after the rain, meaning like a warmonger after the drums of war have been beaten by John McCain, saying we should use military options against Putin for blowing off treaties? I was attacked for calling it a neocon war. I told you it was a neocons who wanted war. I was attacked by little loser websites who claimed to be conservative because I dared use the word neocon a little too often. I guess it touched a little raw nerve with the Limbaugh clan, the little clan of news sites and talkers who wrap themselves in the Constitution and always want war because they don't have to fight them. Donna on WMAL, you're the first caller today. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I knew you were right on the money with that, that's the neocons were behind it. And, you know, I my first thought was, what's wrong with this picture? What's really going on over there? And, of course, you said it, and war is their business. But I want to say with reference...
Yeah, war is their only business.
Absolutely.
And they just lost the war in Afghanistan. What are they going to do with all of the out-of-work contractors and salesmen?
Yeah, and why don't they put their kids on the front line? You know, those war on women types? Instead of
They don't have any children. They don't most of them have no children. They use other people's children to fight their wars.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And I just want to say thanks for everything you do because we wouldn't
know. You don't have to thank me. That's what I do for a living. If I didn't make a living at it, you could thank me. Then it would be a charity and I'd ask you for a donation.
And I clearly do so, by the way.
No, I don't want a donation. Putin thumbs nose at Obama, tightens clamps on Crimea. Obama ran off to Florida while Europe was on the brink of war. Here's a story that... Already a break? How did I... Okay, I did it. In New York, 50,000 ultra-Orthodox Jews held a mass protest about the fact that their brethren in Israel now have to go in the military. I found that rather odd. Why don't they just march in Tel Aviv? Why are they marching in New York? What does that have to do with New York? I don't get it. And if they don't like it in Israel, why don't they just come back to America? Well, excuse me, why shouldn't they serve in the military?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, Angel 3, on Talk 560.
No money.
Now you feel better. Now you know who you're listening to. See, I got a little too creative. The audience got frightened. They didn't know what show was on the air. Missing plane, missing president, missing media, missing parents, missing preachers. Don't tell, do ask. Rather talk about six-pack than CPAC. I'd rather talk about abs than Newt Gingrich. He's going to be the spoiler, by the way, as he was in the last election. Newt Gingrich destroyed Mitt Romney before the debates. And Gingrich has one job, which is why he went to dinner in that steakhouse with the two great Americans and the duck people. Remember I told you it's a cartel? It's all the same. They're all on the same side. They have one goal. The goal is to undermine the truly conservative candidate, and that's Newt Gingrich's job. Listen to Newt Gingrich at the CPAC conference attacking anyone who would stand up to Obama. Listen carefully.
I also came to issue a warning. If our movement is primarily anti-Obama, we will in fact reduce the number of victories we should win this fall. If we spend the next 3 years being primarily anti-Hillary, we will virtually guarantee her election as the first Democrat in almost 70 years to hold the White House for a third term.
Really? So what do you stand for, Newt, other than yourself? And a tuba. Tuba lessons for all. The fact of the matter is, if one of these blowhards stood for anything, we'd know it by now. They don't know what they stand for. I know what I stand for. And that is borders, language, and culture. Let one of these blowhards get up at a CPAC conference and say, my motto is simple, borders, language, culture, he'd be the next president. But you didn't even hear that from Rand Paul, did you? You didn't hear that from Ted Cruz, did you? You heard that from nobody, because none of them stand for that. What do they stand for? Republicans! They stand for the Republican takeover, big deal. Again, more of the same? And that's why I say to you, I'd rather do poetry today than news, or I'll do it both. We're doing a little open mic as well, incidentally. And people are calling. We're just going to take them their name and their station. If they're good, we have them up. If they're not, I hang up on them. Then you could say I hang up on my callers and go to the internet and complain that Michael Savage hangs up on his callers. Okay? Who is going to profit from the blood in Ukraine, someone asks. Has anyone put the two and two together? Have you made the connection to George Soros yet? Orange Revolution 2, Spilna Sprava, translated as the right deed. Well, that happens to be an open society institute supported and funded by a group of George Soros's Open Society Institute, now known as the Open Society Foundations, which doles out grants to activist NGOs in Central Europe attempting to undermine the Russian Federation wherever it might be. George Soros and these front groups build upon and continue the work of the Ford Foundation. Since the early 1950s, the CIA has used the Ford Foundation as a funding cover. Spilna Sprava is the Soros-backed Ukrainian occupy group that started the bloodshed in Kiev. Look it up and see if I'm making it up. Look up blood in the streets, who stands to a profit from Ukraine. Some already made a fortune, but you'll never learn it from the media. Instead, you'll learn which slut slipped on a banana peel on Sunset Boulevard and showed us her behind. 855-400-7282. Let's go to the calls. WJR, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Savage, I just started listening to you, JR.
All right, very good. And what's your main point today?
My main point is I was curious as to when you're talking about the topics you are, it seems like you're just taking the opposite view of whatever, like.
And so what? I mean, I should take whose view should I take? Yours?
No. No.
Whose view should I take? That what you've heard on Rush Limbaugh? I don't. What do you mean by the opposite view of what? Opposite of whom?
What I'm trying to ask you is as a new listener.
Yes.
It seems like you're bitter against certain people.
I am very bitter against certain people. Like, let's start with Barack Obama. Aren't you bitter about the fact that while war was brewing, he flew off to another gilded vacation? Doesn't that make you bitter?
No, that does not make me bitter. It makes me upset. It makes
So you're now trying to define the type of bile that you have in your gullet. You have an upset bile, not a bitter bile. So you're different than I.
Right. And what
I have a nice day. That's all. You know, I don't understand it. What, I'm supposed to think the way he does in order for him to listen to me? And you know, Savage, I started listening to you. You know, you don't think like I do, so I'm not going to listen to you. Good. All right, you got many choices. What can I tell you? I wish you listened, but if you don't, you don't. 855-407-282. It's open mic to Mike on this Monday. How about the missing plane? There's nothing you could say. You don't know any more than anyone else does. How about the missing president? Does it make you bitter? Makes you upset? Makes you happy? Makes you sad? You know, there's a story I don't know if I should cover in any great detail, because it's about the ultra-Orthodox Jews, 50,000 of them, flooded Lower Manhattan on Sunday to protest Israel's proposed draft of religious citizens to its army. The Orthodox Jews took up a stretch of 10 blocks with 19th-century clothed demonstrators standing behind police barricades amid tight security. Organizers kept to tradition, with men and women in separate groups, as they all are at religious events, because as you well know, women are not allowed to be near men amongst the Orthodox. They're not considered exactly a second-class citizen, but let's put it to you this way. They're not allowed around the men. So I look at this, and I see a sea of black hats in Lower Manhattan. I say, why are they bothering to protest here? Why aren't they protesting Tel Aviv and see what the parents of boys who died so they can shuckle and jive in the synagogues feel about it? Why don't they go and do their thing over in Tel Aviv and complain to the secular Jews who they hate so much, who fight so they can have the freedom to pray 24 hours a day and not work for a living? I say to myself, and so I got a little worked up over it. That's something you want to talk about? Now, if you are a member of this Satmar clan, or sect, if you want to call it that, the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community that doesn't think your young men should be drafted in the Israeli military, give me a call and tell me why. And it said that one of the Israeli Orthodox community said this. He said, these kids, a lot of them don't know how to hold a gun. They don't know what physical warfare is. And my answer is, duh, that's why they should be drafted. You see, because the so-called secular Jews who you spit on in Israel, they're the ones who do hold a gun. They're the ones who died so that you could pray. And that's why your sons must learn how to hold a gun, Rabbi. And that's why your sons should learn what physical warfare is, Rabbi, is what I'd like to say. And then he goes on and says this. Their whole world and their whole lifestyle is peace and love and in doing mitzvahs. He said, using the Jewish word for good deeds. He went on and said, and you take a bunch of kids out of the environment where they come from. In my eyes, it's wrong. Well, you know what, Rabbi? In my eyes, it's long overdue. And also, you should go protest in Tel Aviv, not in New York. What does this have to do with us? Why are you protesting the Israeli draft in New York City? Tell me why. Well, here's one answer. Peggy Blyer, an interior designer from Brooklyn, said, we're all united against military service for religious men in Israel because it doesn't allow for religious learning. The Israeli government is looking to destroy religious society and make the country into a secular melting pot. That's totally fraudulent rubbish. In fact, in the past, there were some very religious Israelis who were also paratroopers and members of the IDF. And they jumped out of airplanes with a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other. This is nothing but craven lies. And it's long overdue that the religious who live off the land in Israel ought to do what the secular Jews who they spit at do, which is protect themselves. That's my opinion. What's yours? 855. I don't even know my number, actually. I forgot my number. 400-SAVAGE, 407-282. Okay, it's time for a poem. A little jazz music, please. I want to play Triple Bermuda, which the young man heard me say. Loud, loud. You got to play it loud, though, because I can't get into the mood. This is called Triple Bermuda. It's dedicated to Google and Microsoft and NBC. The money changers in the temple pay Balt. They shelter. They smelter. They bring it in. They shovel it out. They do a double English and a double Irish and a triple Bermuda. The triple Google. The double GE. The quadruple rupee bypass of Microhard. I like it. It's very good. You know, I'm starting to think maybe I see a live event in a small, like, jazz club setting. Just the setting is that of a spotlight, me on a stool. Me on a chair. No, me standing. Single mic. Saxophone player. Spotlight on the player. Very, very, very 60s retro young lady standing there dressed in black leotards, like retro black 1960s imagery. She says nothing, does nothing, no expression, no smile. She's not selling a car at a General Electric, at a General Motors affair. It's sort of like a 1960s cave in the, like the Village Vanguard in the 60s. And all I do is read these jazz poems, probably an audience of four people. Now, if I jazzed it up a bit with talking about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and I wore a hat that had three parts to it, and I had a constitution in my hand, and I fumed against Obama, and I said if only the Republicans could win again, if we could only take the country back, if only the Constitution was in everyone's pocket and forcibly read in schools every morning, every noon, and every evening with the Adderall pills, I'm sure the House would be full. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm in a very good mood today. Strange things have happened to me over the last few days. And the main thing was, I went out to the grocery store before the show to buy my lunch. You see, I have a power lunch every day by myself with a dog. I usually buy a cooked chicken and a piece of bread. It's equivalent to the Spartan diet of the modern talk show host. That's my power lunch. I don't meet with any insiders, outsiders. I don't meet with any GPAC. I don't meet with any CPACs. I don't meet with any anybody who knows anything. It's just me and my mind and God and the dog. And strangely enough, out of the corner of my eye, I see a large black man who signals me, and I said, David? And David comes over. Now, David is the preacher from the area that I live in. I haven't seen him in 2 years. I've talked about him over the years, giving out turkeys. He does. I talked about Dave the Preacher. Now, Dave is a big man. Dave is a very big guy. Dave had a very big dog. He had a black dog that was the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. And I forget what kind of breed it was. Just one of them big, giant dogs. Like, I mean, big, 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 like a scary big black dog. I forget it. The type of dog, not a Dalmatian, monster. What's the biggest kind of dog there is? Not an Irish Wolfhound. And you get the picture, short coat, big dog. So Dave was inseparable. Now, Dave is a pastor in a church in Marin County, and he also details cars, whatever. So he and I started to rap in the parking lot of the supermarket. And the first thing I said was, where's your dog? He said he died. He said, I got to tell you something, Michael. He said, I did many funerals last year. I forget how many members of his congregation he buried. He said, I didn't cry at one of them. He said, but when I buried my dog, he said, I cried like I haven't cried since I was 5 years old. I said, well, I understand that, Dave. I said, they're a big part of our life. I said, I think I'm starting to go batty because I'm calling my dog my brother with a fur coat. In fact, Dave has gotten so bad that I changed Teddy's name and I'm calling him my deceased brother's name, Jerry, and he seems to be responding. And instead of saying, hey, Teddy, I'm saying, hey, Jerome, or hey, Jerry. I said, is it possible in your mind, Dave, that people come back in other forms? He said, I don't know about that. He's a devout Christian. I don't know if he believes in that. So we went on from talking about dogs to people to the empty souls of Marin County, the fatherless homes where the father is present but not there, the motherless homes where the mother is present but not home, and all of the broken children on drugs, medication, with broken souls because they have no parents who can guide them, and we had a wonderful time. And I guess I feel that I was touched by somebody, and I feel very good about that. 855-400-7282. Maybe we should have David on for a minute. I don't want to talk about the news. Do you want to talk about the news? What do you want me to do? You want me to do news, views, and reviews like I normally do? You want me to read from my novel, A Time for War, my nonfiction book, Trickle Down Tyranny, my novel, Abuse of Power, my autobiography, Train Tracks. You want me to read the side of a cereal label? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The time is, what is the time? 55 minutes after the hour already? I flew through an hour. Let's quickly take a call before the time is up. William on WABC, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. How are you?
Please tell us your point. We have only a minute and a half.
First of all, I'd like to preface that I really enjoy listening to your show, and I do not spit at you, and I do not look down at you, and I'm an ultra-Orthodox Jew, and I am from New York originally.
Okay, so let me ask you in a nutshell. Most of my listeners don't understand why religious Jewish people don't want to serve in the military. I mean, the Hasidim, not all of them don't want to serve in the military. Don't the Lubavitch, don't they serve in the military?
Some do, and you'd be surprised. Some of the ultra-Orthodox actually do serve in the military in Israel.
All right, so what was the march about then? Why are they saying we don't want to serve? Hell no, we won't go. Why?
First of all, let me clarify, it was not a march. It was a prayer gathering. Completely.
Whatever you want to call it, it was 10 blocks of black-clad individuals telling America they don't want to serve in the Israeli military. Why in America? Why not in Tel Aviv?
Well, that's just practicality. We're not going to fly out 50,000 people to Tel Aviv to do that.
Wait, excuse me. You're not going to fly out to Israel. So why is it about Israel, then, if you're not involved with Israel?
It's not at all about Israel. It's about the Torah observant community throughout the world, whether it be in the...
And you believe that people who study the Bible, who are Jewish, shouldn't serve in the military? Who will protect you from those who would cut your throats?
I believe that people who want to study the Torah, who want to... It's not just the Bible, this is the entire compendium of...
Yeah, well, who's going to protect you, though, when those who hate you want to kill you?
The Israeli military...
And who are they? Who are they? The secular Jews that you look down upon, correct?
Sir. We do not look down on secular Jews.
Well, then why don't you serve with them and become their brethren, their brothers in arms?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep on.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation for Monday. No, I went through a lot of different topics in the first hour. Missing plane, missing president, missing media, missing parents, missing preachers, CPAC, six-pack. I mean, we did a lot of things. And then I stumbled upon a story that seems to have gained a lot of callers, and that is this. Thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews flocked to Lower Manhattan to protest Israel's proposed draft of religious citizens to its army. It was in the Daily News, New York Daily News. And the gathering took 10 blocks, 10 blocks of dark-clothed demonstrators marching and to complain about the mandatory draft that's being instituted in Israel. Now, my point is, why are they protesting here in New York? Why not in Israel? And the answer to me is quite clear, because the Israelis wouldn't put up with it. The mothers who lost sons to the wars of survival wouldn't really appreciate the 50,000 Satmar Jews who were saying, hell no, we won't go, to use a phrase from the Vietnam War. I appreciate that they do good work for the world. I appreciate that their whole lifestyle is peace and love and doing mitzvahs. I appreciate the fact that they study the Bible and the Torah. That's all wonderful. But how does that make sense that therefore you're not going to defend yourselves and you want someone else to die for you? I don't get it. According to my understanding of Torah, which is a body of knowledge within the Jewish religion, according to the Torah, even a religious man is supposed to have a job in the real world. That is why many religious people, for example, have real jobs in the real world. This idea that you only study 24 hours a day and someone else works for you only started 250 years ago in Eastern Europe. And now we're living not in 1815, but in 2014. The fact of the matter is, many Orthodox Jewish men study Torah, serve in the armed forces, and also work to support their families. I don't quite understand why these men think that they have a right to not serve in the Israeli military. That's the discussion that we're having right now. So let's begin in Kansas City on KCMO. KCMO, Stu, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, you would call me a secular Jew even though I was bar mitzvahed in an Orthodox synagogue. And my take on this, I'm going to condemn this protest even more than you are, on slightly different grounds. Perhaps when you were growing up, you might have heard the Yiddish expression, a shanda for the goyim. And what that means is it's something that is shameful, that makes Jews look bad in the eyes of non-Jews. And that is what this protest is, because there's nothing in Judaism that says that, and by the way, I have great respect for my ultra-Orthodox brethren, but there is nothing in Judaism that says that the more Orthodox, the more religious one is, the more one should be a pacifist. That is just patently false and wrong.
I'll tell you, Stu, why this topic is very important for a national audience on the Savage Nation, because just as the ultra-religious in Israel consider themselves above serving in the military, the secular progressives in America who see their love of Gaia, their love of global warming lies as a sort of religion, think that they too should be above serving in the military, let the other people's sons die for them. It's the same thing. Their secular religion is seen as something holy and sacred, and therefore they don't want to profane themselves in the military. There is a comparison there, wouldn't you say, Stu?
Well, yeah. I mean, you would call me secular because I'm not really very observant at all. But believe me, I'm a Jew. I'll never be anything but a Jew. I'll be a Jew until, God forbid, the sword of Islam falls on my neck.
Well, it should fall on their neck first. I wouldn't even put that in your mind. Drop it on their neck first. But, you know, if you read the Bible itself, Ecclesiastes, one of my favorites, there's a phrase, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Surely the Orthodox know Ecclesiastes. It's from the Jewish Bible. A time for war and a time for peace. Therefore, on what basis do they argue they should not serve in the military? That's a simple question.
Their argument holds no water, Michael, and it's certainly contrary to the philosophy of Rabbi Meir Kahana, who was one of the greatest and most vociferous defenders of Israel and an advocate of Israel, of Jews being armed and being...
Well, I remember that one in the past, there was a chief rabbi of Israel many years ago, was a very super Orthodox Jew, but he was also a paratrooper. How did that work out?
Well,
he didn't say that he had no need to serve in the military. He said it's especially his need to serve in the military, and he served, and he jumped out of airplanes along with the other paratroopers. So I don't understand where they're coming from. It seems to me not only that it's that they're wrong, but they were wrong for doing it in New York City rather than Tel Aviv, Stu.
Well, that's wrong, but like I say, I'm condemning it on even stronger grounds. I mean, who more so than an Orthodox religious Jew should be willing to fight for the preservation of Israel?
I don't know. I don't understand. It seems crazy to me. What if we woke up one day and we read that Orthodox Christians in America decided that they were too holy to serve in the military because it would take them away from their religious studies and the teachings of Jesus, who says, turn the other cheek? We would say that's patently ridiculous. Where in Christianity does it say you shouldn't serve in the military? It makes as much sense to see it that way as it does the Jewish thing, Stu. It doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't say it in Judaism either. And
no.
Sorry, I can't quote you the scriptures, but I can tell you where to look for it.
Yeah, I can too. Ecclesiastes, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now you understand why, Stu, they'll soon be burning Bibles in San Francisco. They'll call it a book of hate. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. See, that's the beauty of the Old Testament. It's very earthy. And it also tells you can enjoy yourself, that your body is part of you. It's not something alien to you. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. You're not supposed to not enjoy yourself. And by the way, that's in there as well. All right, what do you want to talk about? Let me read another piece of this while you call. I'll do a Bible on Monday. What the heck? I may as well alienate the other half of the audience. I alienated the religious core of my audience. Now let's go to the non-religious side who'll turn the radio off the minute I read from the Bible. But I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead that are already dead more than the living that are yet alive. But better than they both is he that hath not yet been born, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. How's that for depression? Now, in our day, whoever Ecclesiastes does would have been put into the DSM as a total nut, medicated, put into a straitjacket, and immediately hired by the DNC to go out and recruit other lunatics. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company Michael Savage trusts to buy his gold and silver from.
Honey, you're live. All is vanity. All is vanity. All is not Hannity. All is vanity. That's the thing you got to remember. There is Michael Savage, after all. And, I mean, this topic's an interesting one. I don't know that it's that big outside of New York, you know, where the streets were blocked. No one can understand this. No one outside of New York can understand why 50,000 ultra-religious Jewish people would block the streets on a Sunday to protest the conscription of men in Israel. Well, what does that have to do with America? I don't quite get it. I mean, maybe they would... What if they said, okay, we don't want to serve in the American military? They get a pass on that too? There is no American military. It's all volunteer, right, for now. And there is no American military anyway. That's why we're not talking about using the military anymore. The fact of the matter is the military has been gutted for the last 10 years or so. Gutted. And so that's why I'm worried, because when you have a weak president, anything can happen. This guy can launch cruise missiles at Russian troops, and what do you think Putin's going to do in return? What's he going to say, I'm frightened now? No, he's not frightened now. He'll launch an ICBM at Europe is what he'll do. Well, God forbid, at one of our military bases. And that's why this is a very dangerous situation, especially when you have an absentee president who goes on a vacation at a time like this. That should worry you. But the useless idiots in the media didn't even report he was on vacation. That would be considered racist. See, if you were to have reported over the weekend that it's shocking that the president would go on a vacation while war drums are being beaten, while an airline had disappeared over the South China Sea, it would prove de facto that you're a racist for doing it. It's not that he's an absentee president who's not really qualified for this job. It's the fact that you're a racist that you'd even report that. And that's why you didn't read about it. I mean, for the sake of imagery, it's very important that you don't report on a thing like that. 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. WABC, Maishi, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to argue on, usually I agree with you, but I wanted to argue on this point about the guys going, the Jews going down.
Good, good. I'd like to hear a rational argument. I'm going to let you talk completely. You have the floor.
Okay, the reason that they protested in downtown Manhattan was not just that they protested in America as opposed to Israel. They actually protested in addition to a protest that was going on in Israel. It wasn't simultaneous. It happened about 2 weeks ago, I think.
I understand, but what is it that they're saying? They don't want to serve in the military, and it's the first time they're going to have to. So that's the real germ of the discussion.
I'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to point out why.
Look, hold it. Marshy, listen to me. I'm not one of your students. You have to listen as well as talk. Give me one reason why Orthodox Jews who live in Israel shouldn't serve in the military.
Because they believe that God is protecting them, and they don't need the protection. And I partially...
They believe God is protecting them? Is that how God protected them during the Holocaust? Is that how God protected their grandfathers as they threw them into the ovens with their taluses and their Torahs?
Well, some of them happened to survive, right? What was the reason that happened to survive? If you go through history, throughout history, you see that Jews do survive.
So, you're proposing such a ludicrous argument that it's actually frightening. It shows a derangement of thinking. Now, you're not denying now that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, are you?
Of course not.
And why did they die? Because they didn't have guns, number one, and they didn't know how to defend themselves, number two. You know, I have dreamed for years that, like the ancient Taoist monks who were being beaten up and pillaged by bands of robbers in ancient China, they learned how to fight with sticks and rakes and benches. That was the beginning of martial arts in China. Do you know that? I prayed for years that the Jewish people would come to understand that they must also learn how to defend themselves in order to be able to worship God.
Okay, they're not saying that there shouldn't be an Israeli army. There are actually a lot of religious people that are in the army. There is even a special religious unit. They oppose the suggestion of the Israeli government that they should require them not to be able to study Torah and must be part of the military. That's what they're opposing.
I know what they're opposing, but that makes no sense. Where is it written in the Bible or the Torah that a Jew shouldn't go in the military?
It doesn't, but it says that you should devote...
Oh, it doesn't. So in other words, your ancestors made up the rules, and now we're supposed to believe it makes sense?
No, they're supposed to devote all their time to learning the Torah. That's why...
Where is it? Who said they're supposed to devote all their time to learning the Torah? Who's supposed to pay for that?
I could read you the Hebrew verse. Says
You can read all you want, but it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Torah. It was written by a rabbi, 250 years ago?
No, a lot earlier than that.
So let's say 500 years ago. So what, the word of one rabbi now trumps sanity itself?
No, it's in the Bible, the Higisa Bo Yom HaLaila.
Don't give me the Hebrew mumbo-jumbo, because I can read the Bible back to you. And in the Bible it says a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So what does that mean? Who was that written for? The non-Jews?
No, it's written that there is a time for war, definitely.
All right, so if there's a time for war, why shouldn't religious Jews fight in it?
They should, but the ones that are appropriate for it, not everybody is up
to it. Oh, in other words, the lower ones should do it, the ones that you look down upon.
Well, actually, if you look at the Nach, the Nevi'im, you'll see where David went to war. He only took the people who were at the upper class of Judaism, meaning the holier Jews went to war.
So why don't the holy ones go to war now, if they're the upper class? All of the great Kohens. Why don't the great Kohens help fight for Israel now? You're surrounded by people who would like to annihilate the Jewish state itself, and you have the nerve to sit here and tell the world on this radio show that you believe God will protect you if there was no military?
Yes.
Then I would say that you're psychologically damaged if you believe that.
Okay.
I would have to say that that viewpoint is psychologically damaged.
Okay, maybe I don't hold a good argument, but that's my belief.
No, I'm not putting you down. I'm saying that if you're living in such a closed world that you actually believe if there was no military in Israel and God would protect all of you because you follow his commandments, I would say that you don't know the real world. And that's the danger you're living in. And that's why you must serve in the military to learn the real world.
Okay, well, look.
You have to learn that the people around you hate you and would like to annihilate you. They'd like to wipe you off the planet. How could you not understand that?
Yet we the Jews still exist. Why is that?
That's a specious argument. The reason is because others died so you could still exist. How were the concentration camps liberated? Who liberated the concentration camps so that some could survive? Who liberated the camps?
Messengers of God. It was the American Army.
Well, it was the American Army and the Russian Army, to be very, very specific. It was the Russian Army first and then the American Army in some cases. How many Russians died to take Berlin? 400,000. 400,000 Russian soldiers died in the last Battle of Berlin. 400,000 to squash Nazism. So what's the point? The point is that men died so your ancestors could be free. But it came at a very high price. The price was blood and life itself. Let's turn it around. Why do you suppose the Israelis are saying, you Orthodox Jews live here, you do very well here, why shouldn't you serve in the military? Why are they saying that after all of these years?
They always had an exemption from the military. Some of them went voluntarily and some of them didn't.
They always had an exemption, but they're saying the exemption should be over. If their son could die for Israel, why shouldn't your son fight for Israel?
Okay, maybe I don't hold a good argument, but it's still what they're...
I'm not here to make you feel uncomfortable or make you look ridiculous. That would make me a cruel man, and I'm the furthest thing from a cruel man. But I worry about the Jewish people if this is the best you can think of.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention in.
Weekdays, News till 3, on Hot Talk 560.
Well, look,
KSFO.
It's an interesting topic, but it can be misinterpreted. I can be misinterpreted. It's very easy to do. And the thing about talk radio that you have to remember is, people hear what they want to hear from the host. If you want to hear what I'm saying, you have a difficult time pinning me down. But on this issue, it's quite clear. Israel would disappear if it was not for the military. If it's one thing the Jewish people learn from World War II and the Holocaust, they learned they needed guns and they needed to defend themselves, because without guns they would have died. And I'll tell you something else. If you read in detail about Jews who survived during the Holocaust by going underground, by going into the woods of Poland, I think there was a great book, the Bielski Brothers. One of the first things these ordinary guys, a butcher, a baker, a carpenter, lived in a village in Poland, didn't bother anyone. The next thing they knew, their neighbors were being herded together to be killed. They ran off into the woods. They were tough as nails. What they did was they had to get guns. In order to survive, the first thing they needed was guns. They couldn't last a week without a gun. So they either stole them from a farmer, or they overtook German sentries and stole their guns, and only with guns could they survive. And they lived in the woods for years in the snow, if you can think about it. Think about what I'm saying to you. The power of survival was dependent not upon God in that case. Maybe some of them believed in God before the Holocaust, but a lot of them lost their belief in God after the Holocaust. I've had callers who tell me, how could you still believe in it after such an event? Well, that's for you to decide. I mean, I'm not here to convert anyone to any belief system or to believe in anything. I have my own trouble with belief or not belief. I know in my own life personally, I know that there's a higher power. I know it. I've seen things happen that explain to me that there's another power on Earth or in the atmosphere or in the universe. Let's put it that way. There's a hand moving things. What that power is your decision, however you want to put it. But they learned that sheer survival required a weapon and the ability to use the weapon and the ability to bash in someone's head with a stick or kill them. They didn't want to kill the other man, but it was kill or be killed, so they learned how to kill. And then a strange thing occurred in the forests of Poland and elsewhere. Guerrilla groups comprised mainly of Russian guerrillas. They ran into these Jewish groups hiding in the woods. And they forced the Jewish groups to be subservient to them because these groups were largely paramilitary groups. The Russians were. They had more guns, more weapons, and a better idea of how to kill people. And things happened that they didn't want to happen to their women and to themselves from these Russians. But they had to look the other way. They all would have died. So it's a very complicated situation. But there was no God involved. As I've said to you before, in my mind, God is omnipresent, but God is not omnipotent. God does not control every event on earth. He doesn't control every little breath you take and every sneeze. He doesn't control whether the Frankfurter you ate yesterday was going to give you a stomachache, okay? I mean, let's stop being stupid about everything. It doesn't mean God didn't create the world and everything in it. The rest, I think, is up to what happens. Maybe there's a mixture of beliefs here. I don't know. But again, I'm not a preacher. I'm a talk show host. But the thing is, we're talking about a very interesting topic that goes well beyond this huge protest in New York City, which most Americans didn't see. Just as most Americans didn't see the absentee president enjoying another gilded vacation while war is brewing, which is probably an impeachable offense. Imagine if it was George Bush going on vacation while war drums are being beaten and Putin moves 30,000 troops into Crimea. Can you imagine the outcry from the false prophets in the media? Can you imagine the outcry from all of these empty skirts in the media? Can you imagine what they'd be saying? Yet they give this man and his wife a pass, no matter what they do, no matter how they abuse the taxpayer, no matter how they abuse the office of the presidency, no matter how they embarrass the presidency, they say nothing. It's a form of insanity, the media, a form of madness. The media today is a cult. The media in America is nothing more than a cult. And now we're talking about this topic. This is an interesting topic. And I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know if you want to talk about it. There are other topics. And we can talk about them. Now, you guys, there's another element to the Satmar Hasidim who marched in New York saying they don't want to serve in the Israeli military that you don't know. They don't believe the government of Israel should exist. They, in fact, were good for... They actually agree with the Arabs that Zionists are wrong and there should be no Israel. See, you don't know that part of it. These protesters are of a particular Orthodox sect. The Satmar Hasidim, as I know, correct me if I'm mistaken, still to this day don't believe Israel should exist. That's an interesting point. Now, there's another sect of Orthodox Jews who are sort of their... They're not their band of brothers, which is the Lubavitch, the total opposite, total Zionists, total conservatives, totally different. So it's easy to lump all Orthodox Jews together. It's like lumping all Orthodox Christians together. As you well know, there's a huge differential. Okay, let's go to the calls. Where are we? Logan in Utah. Logan in Utah on the internet. Logan, go ahead, please.
How are you doing today?
Who knows how I'm doing? I have no idea. If I knew what I was doing, how I'm doing, I wouldn't be on the radio.
I know. I just wanted to talk about the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, not wanting to work. But God told Adam that he was to work all the days of his life by the sweat of his brow. So that's one example there. But through the scriptures, they talk about men supposed to defend their families, even unto bloodshed. Fight for the family.
I know that, Logan, and most Orthodox Jews of another religious orientation do that. This is a different sect, and 50,000 of them is a large number when they take over 10 blocks of a New York City. That's a huge number, and it is worthy of discussion. Now, if we wait 50 years, if you look at the number of the people who are having children in Israel, the secular Jews are not having children. The replacement numbers are not there. It's about 1.8, if that many, per family, which means the secular Jewish population will disappear within 50 years in Israel. the segment of the Israeli population that is having children is the Orthodox community. 6, 7, 10 children is not uncommon. Now, what happens in 50 years is that Israel becomes dominated by these people, and the Arabs who hate Jews will be able to take over the country without firing a shot. That's all. Just follow logic. Now, don't tell me God's going to save Israel at that point. Am I allowed to make sense? Can you use logic anymore in America without being called a thisist or a thatist? Now, let's go back to any other topic. Dogs, missing president, CPAC, about the most boring topic on earth. You want to talk about CPAC, you can. I mean, I would vote for Ron Paul, or Rand Paul, Ron Paul, your Paul, my Paul, Peter Paul and Mary. I mean, it's all fine. I vote for him over any Democrat. I said even, and he's not the worst, but the worst Republican would be better than the best Democrat, because there are no best Democrats. Can he win against Hillary? I think she'll chop him up like an M&M. Unless he's willing to attack her viciously, she'll chew him up like an M&M, like a piece of popcorn in a movie theater. He may not be mean enough for the job. That's what I'm saying. We need someone who's really mean, a street fighter, to fight against what's coming in order to explain it. You don't even have to go there unless they're willing to say borders language. See, you don't even have to get mean. If I were running, I would run on a campaign of borders language and culture. Say, well, what do you stand for, Mr. Savage? Borders language and culture. The Republicans are having meetings now on what they should stand for. You hear this? They're still trying to determine what their motto is. Duh. Let's see, war. No, we can't say we're for war. Family, no, we're against families now because we're for gay marriage. Let's see, we're for, we don't know what, we're for nothing. We're for everything. We're for, we don't know what they're for, so they don't exist. I know how to win. Borders, language, culture. That's here's my motto. So a reporter says, what do you mean by borders? What, that's not self-explanatory? Next question. What do you mean by language? Are you a racist? No, I believe there should be English only in the workplace and English only in the government. We're not a polyglot nation. It's not the Tower of Babel. It's the language of the land, and my ancestors had to learn it in order to become citizens. And I think it's only fair to demand that anyone learn English if they want to live here. They can practice any language they want outside of their outside of doing government business. That's all. You want to vote? You have to learn English. And the ballots must only be in English, not in 16 languages to make sure illegal aliens vote. Did I make myself clear? Okay, well, what do you mean by culture, Savage? Isn't that rather culturist? Aren't all cultures equal? Well, no, sir, no. All cultures are not equal. Just travel the world and you'll understand how ludicrous your question is. No, my friend, this culture is very unique, which is why we have America, which is why so many people still flood to this country. That's my platform. Thank you. There will be no further questions. Goodbye. I'd run a campaign on borders, language, and culture. I wouldn't even answer any other question. That's what I would do. And if I got into a debate, no matter what they asked me, I'd bring up borders, language, and culture. No matter what they said to me, I'd say, what is it, you're opposed to borders? No matter what the question was from one of the fraudulent news commentators, I don't have to answer their questions. What, Candy Crowley suddenly? Candy Crowley's going to determine what I say? She destroyed Romney in the last campaign. So whatever the question, where do you stand on the Ukraine with regard to this? And my crane, high crane, your crane, my crane, and if you were president, high crane, my crane. I'd say, well, I believe in defending America's borders first. That's all. No matter what they ask me, I turn it back to this. And I do it with a smile. And I probably suck on a piece of hard candy like Nancy Pelosi. And have a very watery delivery at the same time. I'd make certain that I suck on a hard piece of candy and smirk and laugh at everything. I'm liable to get elected just by laughing at the newscasters. Borders, language, culture. WMAL, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, doctor. I just wanted to comment on your borders, language, and culture. I totally agree with you. CPAC did not deliver a message to the American, the United States.
No message whatsoever. All it looked like a bunch of old white guys partying and giving speeches about nothing. Nobody knows one take-home message from CPAC. Tell me one idea that came out of CPAC that you can recall. Nobody knows what they stood for.
And I would like just to say one thing. I don't want to sound like an old Hispanic born in East L.A., but maybe borders, language, and culture could be gift-wrapped, actually be referred to as the gift that the Republican Party can provide America.
Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you're born. Everyone's welcome in America if they work and pay their taxes. We all know that. But the fact is that without borders, there is no nation. Without a common language, it's a Tower of Babel. And without a common culture, there is no unity, and the country falls apart, which is exactly where we are today. We have seen our nation disintegrate as a result of 50 years of progressivism. And the only way to get it back is to defeat them with Michael Savage's Rules for Patriots. 855-400-7282. We're talking about many topics. WBAP. BAP. Paige, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just would like to talk about guidelines for calling into the Savage Nation.
Guidelines for calling into the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Don't waste our time. Get to the
That's right.
plate.
That's why I hang up on people if they can't focus.
Right.
And then they say Savage hangs up on people. Of course I hang up on boring callers. It's not that I can't argue with them, but if they can't form an argument, what's the point of talking to them?
We are the most educated listening audience in the world, so that's the reason.
I believe I do. That's right, I believe I do, and I love my audience. WABC, New York City, Menachem, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I think you have it just a little bit wrong, just for the fact that I'm part of the Lubavitch movement, and our rabbis actually called for us to go to this event yesterday. Not only us, but a lot of other religious sects. It was not Satmar.
So the Lubavitch also don't want to serve in the military?
It's not that they don't want to serve. I actually served myself. I was injured, so I was released after 6 months. But I went in officially for 3 years.
I don't understand. How could the Lubavitch and the Satmar unite and say we're not going to serve? Hell no, we won't go. What message does that send not only to the Israelis who are not religious, but to the rest of the world? The Arabs must be laughing in Israel.
That is not what it's about. I think that the mistake here is the misinterpretation of what this really was and the reason for the gathering. The law is not what they have an issue with. They have an issue with one part of the law. And that is why Satmar joined... and I should say only...
So what is the part of the law? They will serve, but they won't do what?
No. In order to understand the part of the law, people have to understand the history.
Come on, don't give me a whole cockamamie Talmud story here. This is rabbinic now. Make it simple for the world to hear. What is it that they object to? Serving in the military or a part of serving in the military?
Serving in the military is not the issue.
All right, hold on. You see, you can't answer the question. You're going to give me a whole a discourse now that in 1309, the Rabbi Chaim Yankel said this, and because of that in 1403, and therefore we don't want to serve. Come on, Menachem, let's catch up. I'm going to give you one more shot when I come back to explain it. Fire away. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, it's a short argument, short segment. Let's go back to WABC in New York. Menachem, please make your point of why Orthodox Jews should not serve in the Israeli military.
That is not the point. That's the problem. Orthodox Jews that do not sit and learn should serve, and this was understood by the first prime minister.
Say Orthodox Jews who what should serve?
Who do not sit and learn should serve. And
who not sit and learn? But why is studying the Torah incompatible with defending your nation?
It is, to the religious Jews, the belief is that studying Torah...
Right, let me give you something for the religious Jews. The Obama administration just says there's no need for the Palestinians to recognize Israel. Did you read the non-religious newspaper and read that?
I did not read it, no.
Oh, well, let me read it for you since you're lost in your own world. A top Obama official this weekend told the Palestinian Al-Quds newspaper that there is no need for Palestinians to recognize Israel. And now you have Orthodox Jews marching the same weekend saying, hell no, we won't go. Okay, you put two and two together. You know what you come up with? A zero. A zero. No need to recognize Israel, says John Kerry's State Department. You hear this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, here's the story and why it's a newsworthy story for the entire nation. On the very day that 50,000 ultra-Orthodox Jews protest in the streets of New York against serving in the Israeli military, the Obama administration says no need for Palestinians to recognize Israel. A top Obama official this weekend told the Palestinian Al-Quds newspaper that there is no need for Palestinians to recognize Israel, Israel National News reported. And the United States went along with it. The State Department spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, said that the American position is clear. Israel is a Jewish state. However, we do not see a need that both sides recognize this position as part of the final agreement. You talk about a snake tongue. What do you mean both sides? What kind of idiocy is that? How can you make peace with an enemy that says you don't exist? But to the Obama administration, hey, as long as it buys them another vacation, why not? So on the same day that the enemies of Israel gotten even more adamant in their condemnation of the existence of the state of Israel, 50,000 Orthodox Jews march and say, we're not going to serve in the military. Now, if you were an Arab, an enemy of the Jewish state, what would you think? You'd say, well, it's only a matter of time till they disappear altogether. That's what I would think. Phone number is 855-407-282. We're talking about that, missing plane, missing president. Missing parents, missing preachers, don't tell, do ask, CPAC, etc., all on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the first caller, who's been holding since the last hour, WABC. Peggy, fire away. You're on the air. Go ahead, please. Peggy, go ahead. Talk. You're on the radio. She's gone or she's hung up. See? Ready to attack me and gone. Gone with the wind. Meanwhile, there's not a trace of the airplane, but no one knows who did it or why they did it. See, unless they actually had a moving picture of a Christian with blonde hair and blue eyes dangling a cross, they would not even identify for you who possibly did it. They're still holding it from you, the moron, so that you could focus on the important things like what's on HBO and which empty skirt said what about global warming. You know, until they can prove definitively that it was a returning military veteran who blew the plane up over the South China Sea, they're not going to expose to you who actually might have done it. It's not your business. Leave it to the experts to see how they can spin it. That's all. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. Be here, be nowhere. Now I'm going to take another caller or two. What do I want to talk about? That's what you want to talk about. Let's see what you want to talk about. We have great callers here. I don't know. This one's calling from Israel? Where's the one from Israel? Yosses, welcome calling from Israel on the Internet. Go ahead, Yosses.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Savage?
What's on your mind?
I'm calling with regard to address the reason why they protested, what the issue was of protesting the draft.
Well, what is it already? We're all waiting for the magical answer. No one understands it.
So the magical answer, I feel, is that basically I'm here in Israel. I'm actually from New York, but I'm studying here in Israel, and there's basically a strife, an unspoken strife between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox in Israel. And the Orthodox feel that it's out of a persecution that they are being forced to address because...
The Orthodox feel it's persecution to ask them to serve their country?
Yes. The reason...
Let's turn it around. How do you feel that the secular Jews in Israel and the Christians in Israel and the Arabs in Israel who serve in the military, if the Arabs serve today, I don't know, don't they feel persecuted by the Orthodox?
No, they do not...
Of course they do. They feel you're living off the fat of the land and they're protecting you. They feel persecuted by your unwillingness to join them in risking your life for your nation.
Okay, so what happened was, so let me tell you what happened. It was originally when the State of Israel started.
Oh, please, let's not do that. Please, I don't want to hear this again. Because I know how the Torah scholar works. Whatever you ask them, they give you a 3,000-word mini essay, and then they tell you, now let's go to the real reason, and another 10,000 words, and then 50,000 words later, you don't know what they said to you.
I'll tell you.
No, I'm going to make it easy for you. So maybe the Orthodox Jewish people, who I greatly respect, can finally understand that the world doesn't understand you. Why would you live in a nation and have the other woman's child die for your protection, and you're not willing to protect your own women and children, is what they're saying. How hard is that to understand, Yosis?
We are definitely willing to serve in the army. That's not the issue. However, the issue with the army itself that they're not willing to provide and they're not willing to help us out with is that the fact that it's mixed men and women and like a college dormitory, and the immorality is not something that we could, that we are not.
Okay, now that's another story. That's not what the march was about, according to the newspaper. It's to protest Israel's proposed draft of religious citizens into its army. That was the protest to serve in general.
Right. So the reason why they were...
And one of the Israeli Orthodox leaders said these kids, a lot of them don't know how to hold a gun. They don't know what physical warfare is. That goes to my point, which is that they should be drafted to learn what warfare is.
Well, that wasn't the purpose of this protest was not because that they're protesting that a Jewish child doesn't know how to hold a gun. It's not their issue. Their issue is...
So are you saying that most of the people who marched would serve in the military if they could be separated from women in the military and they didn't have to be in co-ed barracks? Is that what you're saying?
Right. And in fact, they tried opening up such a unit, a brigade in the army, and... It's still going on right now, but it's not very successful, and it's not to the religious standard of the regular Orthodox.
Right. I understand there was an all-religious brigade where they could follow all the rules that they believe in and still fight for the country, and you're saying that didn't work out?
It did not work out too well. It's slightly, there is, I cannot say it's as bad as the rest of the army, but it's not completely up to the full standard of a regular Orthodox Jew, and it's only the ones that are more modern Orthodox that attend this brigade.
Oh, well, you can always find a reason to not serve in a military. You could say that the gun wasn't kosher. Or you could say the bullet isn't kosher. I mean, how far do you want to go with it?
No. So there are certain standards that were set and that were prearranged.
All right, I understand, but you're part of a nation that's under siege by enemies. Isn't it time to put down some of your fanatical beliefs and join the nation in defending itself?
Well, definitely. However...
Let me say that another way, in a nicer way, because I realize some people may take umbrage with what I just said. You are surrounded by hundreds of millions of people who would like to annihilate the Jewish state. And in the midst of this, you hold a 50,000-man rally, or men and women, in New York, no less, to say, hell no, we won't go. What message does that send to your enemies?
Well, there are enough people serving in the military. In fact, the defense minister just a few months ago wanted to lower the term from a 3-year term to a 2.5-year term because they have so many extra personnel in the army.
Oh, so that's good. So then the Orthodox could serve less than 3 years. They serve 2.5. So that takes away the burden. That doesn't mean you shouldn't serve at all. Yosis, let me explain something. Again, I don't want to make you or any other listener uncomfortable or embarrassed or feel small. The exact opposite is true. And I want to go back to the bigger model, Yosis. Again, I go back to ancient China. You say, what does ancient China have to do with modern Israel? A lot to do with it. There were peace-loving monks in monasteries, Buddhist monks, who were being attacked, pillaged, robbed, killed by roving bands of killers, of bandits. And they learned the martial art using a rake, a hoe, a scythe, a bench, whatever was at hand. They learned to use to defend themselves until they developed it into a high form of self-defense called a martial art. I pray for the day that every Jew in the world is taught a martial art from the time they can see, talk, and walk. I pray for the day that every synagogue in America teaches martial arts to the children, as much as how to be a nice boy, as much as how to be a very nice boy who gets along with everybody and never, ever says a bad thing. I wish to God they would teach all the boys a martial art in every synagogue in America. Does that make me a bad guy? Or does that make me a man who would like to see the Jewish people survive for another 10,000 years? Think about what I'm saying to you, because you can't depend upon someone else to defend you. Let me go back again to the 1930s. When Hitler came to power, he seized all the guns in Germany. Are you aware of that? Guns had been part of the German culture for hunting, for whatever. And one of the first rules of Adolf Hitler was to take guns away from the people. Don't tell that to Harvey Weinstein and all of the other wonderful Jews who rally around Obama, who hates the Israeli people. Now, don't tell Harvey Weinstein that his ancestors, if they had been in Europe, if they had had a gun, they wouldn't have died on their knees begging for their lives thrown into an oven after their women and children were killed. Maybe they would have killed a Nazi in the doorway. If every Jew had had a gun in Germany, even a small gun, even a pistol, if it had not been seized, or if they had sequestered it and put it away, and I've discussed this with scholars, religious scholars, by the way, they told me that if every Jew had killed one Gestapo agent who came for them, the Holocaust would have been short-circuited. The Germans wouldn't have gone on with it. Do you know why? Because they did. The German people liked a very orderly society, he said to me. And they didn't want to see any kind of upset in the generalized society. So when the Gestapo came to the door and they told the Jew in the middle-class neighborhood or whatever, get your belongings, pack a little valise, you're coming with us. The Jew could have said, excuse me, I'm gonna get my bag, I'll be there in a minute. If he came out blasting and killed two Gestapo agents and then got killed, and a million Jews did that, that would have been the end of the Holocaust right there. Because they would have stopped it. They didn't want to upset the average German who didn't know exactly what was going on. That's what was told to me. And what I'm trying to tell you is that Jews of all people on earth should not be anti-gun. Jews and all people of all people on the earth should understand that the military is the most essential part of their government. And that they should be proud to serve. And that's all I want to say on this issue. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Still no reports on the airplane, where it is, how it is, why it went down. They're covering up who did it, of course. Because he's not a white male with a cross returning from Afghanistan with a grudge, they can't report on the known suspects, even though they have their pictures. One, of course, so far as we know, is an African of descent, probably a Libyan, since there may be a connection to Al-Qaeda, but we're not allowed to say that. Hush, hush, my darling. Can't rush to judgment. Probably the plane disappeared. It's probably a UFO. My guess is probably illegal aliens seized the plane in the sense of aliens from outer space. They wanted a nice 777 up in the sky, so they reached down and touched someone. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's take the next caller, KKOB out of New Mexico. Leo, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's a true honor to speak with you. I never cease to be impressed with your acuity and the common sense clarity that you bring to these issues. But back to a topic that you opened up with, I just wanted to encourage you to do that stage presentation with the jazz poetry. And maybe on the other side of the stage, you could contrast and compare it, say, jump 50 years forward to 50 words of English.
And oh, my God. This. Oh, a split screen. I could do that in one of my home studios with a black screen and a video camera, couldn't I? I don't even have to rent the theater to do this.
Perfect. That would work great. Video it and get that sucker on YouTube, and I think it'd go viral, and you would reach a younger audience.
That's a good idea, Leo. I should be doing these things. I don't have a staff. I have no entourage, no staff. I'm a man unto himself. But thank you for listening. He's the only one who actually heard me read the jazz poem today. So let's do one more here at the end of this hour. A little jazz saxophone from Sam Gendel in the background as I read to you the cave painting. Desire to escape from selfhood. Escape the environment itself. Escape people. From the beginning of time, transcend the self. The cave paintings. Beginnings of civilization. Man stepped forward from being an animal. I'm here now and I want you to remember me. I know there's going to be a tomorrow and a tomorrow and a tomorrow and I won't be here. But I was here in this rotten, stinking, horrible cave with my ugly wife and terrible children. And there are no orthodontists here. There's no anesthesia in this cave. There's no cable TV. There's no car. There's no booze yet. And I can't stand it. So I'm going to paint a deer on the cave wall. I hope you enjoyed that little change of pace on the Savage Nation. Can't just do one thing all day long. I mean, make believe we're in Cafe Savage this afternoon or early evening across America. where I'm the cafe owner and I have to entertain you for three hours a day. I mean, if I'm going to just sit here and talk about marches in New York or Newt Gingrich's stomach, did it get smaller or bigger, or whether Rand Paul can defeat Hillary, I can't take it. So, my friends, we move around here on the Savage Nation, topic to topic, from time to time, and let me entertain you. You know, the missing plane is a crazy story. The missing president is a crazier story. And if you don't believe that you weren't told about the missing president because there's a bias in the media, then you are on drugs or you're shell-shocked from being an American in the year of our Lord 2014. Have you ever heard of this unprecedented situation of a war brewing, Russia moving in 30,000 troops, and the president going on a golfing vacation without a peep out of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or Fox News? Oh, yes, even Fox News has become part of the Gelded Brigade. That's the new Fox News, the Gelded Brigade. Can't attack the president, can't attack Hillary, can't attack the Democrats. Just go along and get along and call yourself a conservative and laugh all the way to the Swiss bank. Suits by Hart, Shafter, and Marx for Mr. O'Reilly. What a schnurrer he is, my God. I keep saying the guy makes millions of dollars a year and he's got to get a free suit out of a company for a free ad. How? Meatballs from Max's Meatball Store for Mr. O'Reilly. Next, we'll read about the salami sandwiches that were sent up for porn vanity. Salami sandwiches for the crew at Fox News from Max's Delicatessen on 49th Street. Is there no end to how cheap they are? Who's the guy who runs that guy, that fat guy who runs Fox News? What's his name? Everyone's afraid of his... Ailes, Roger Ail. I used to like ale till I found out most of the flavor in ale was a synthetic flavor. There's no comparison meant in tone. Meatball, Mr. Ail's Meatballs by Max's Meatballs. Mr. Ail's Weight Loss Diet by Cheryl's Weight Loss Studio on 49th Street. Oh, Desafinado, that's a good one. Let me read another one of these. I don't want to do the news right now. I got 19 seconds. A man like me should live 1,000 years. It's terrible, the thought of this kind of evolution to just disappear from the earth. I know it sounds narcissistic and egomaniacal, but what's the point of developing yourself to this level to spend so much time to wind up as dust? You'll have to ask God for that answer because I don't have it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
We must stop being the opposition movement, and we must become the alternative government movement that will help make the life of every American better, so that they understand what we would do that would be right, not just what the left is doing.
Ah, go play a tuba. Go play a... What a blowhard. There he is again. Don't these people ever go away. Newt Gingrich at CPAC said nothing. Not one of these candidates had a message that you can remember. Not one of them said borders, language, and culture. That's what I stand for. That's what I live by. That's what we need in order to win. Not one of them. These blowhards, they haven't a clue. I hope one of them steals my motto. I could care less. What's it, too real for them? Anyone listening to this show right now on the Savage Nation, live now in the third hour, it's 34 minutes after the hour, you've listened to all the CPAC garbage. Has anyone said anything that's excited your interest? What do they say? Rand Paul wins a straw poll. He's a straw dog. I mean, who cares what poll he won? And what he stands for, no one knows. In the past, the politician would win, and here's what he stands for. A chicken in every pot. Of course, we know Obama's party stands for the opposite, which is pot in every chicken. Oh, yeah, that's the Democrats' motto, pot in every chicken. Or shall I say pot for every chicken? Instead of a chicken in every pot. So now the Republicans standing for what? A chicken in every pot? Instead of a pot in every chicken? What a bunch of garbage. And the president, the missing president, not a word. Did one of them say, where's Obama? Meanwhile, Russians entered a town north of Crimea into the Ukraine itself. I'll repeat that in case you missed it. It's new news. News. North, east, west, and south. News. Ukrainians in the Kherson province just north of Crimea say Russian operatives have moved into the territory, an incursion which, if true, could show Vladimir Putin has more than just the Black Sea Peninsula in his sights. Duh. Of course he has more than that in his sights. He'll take at least half the Ukraine, if not the whole Ukraine. And Obama can go off on another golfing vacation. And Kerry can resign altogether from palpitations. But at least we'll have the neocons screaming for war. They'll say, nuke them, Tomahawk, you're too weak. bring out the Coral Sea, whatever. Invade Normandy again. Let's get some Purple Hearts going there so the military industrial complex can get fired up again. Let's get K Street operating again. Okay, 855-407-282 is the phone number. Again, I'm asking for a federal strike force to enter San Francisco to stop the corruption in pensions in the fire department, to stop the corruption inside the government that gives away 700 paintings from the San Francisco museums and there's no investigation, to bring in a newspaper into the city that shows some semblance of the truth rather than being a mouthpiece for the Democrat machine. Yep, yeah, good luck. We're good luck in San Francisco. It's been occupied a long time ago. Old saying, the inmates are running the asylum. But you know what? In this case, it's true. Roanoke, Virginia, WFJX, or Roanoke, Virginia, says Oroville. Oh, his name is Oroville. Oroville from FJX in Roanoke. Oh, I thought Oroville, California. Okay, Oroville, welcome to the program.
That's close enough, Mike. I got the message from CPAC. It's basically conservatives can go straight to hell. We got the same old garbage from the Republicans that we've had for the past 14 years. And,
yeah, but who runs CPAC? Who's behind it?
It's a bunch of lobbyist money.
Now, I don't know who actually runs CPAC, but who would go there? I mean, let's start from the top. CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee. So it's a lobbying group.
Yeah, it starts out at $1,000 a plate at the meetings.
Yes. And then that's why a guy like Newt Gingrich would be there, because he feasts off lobbying
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely. He's got the...
I named him the go-pack tick in my book, The Political Zoo.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You know, we have term limits built into our system, but people got to get off their butts and go to the primaries. The only way
I'd like to know why I should care who won the CPAC straw poll. I don't understand why it matters.
Exactly. You're exactly... I mean,
why does it matter? It's a very small group of people. They stood for nothing. Can someone tell me what Rand Paul said? Because I don't know what he said. Neil, do we have any tape where he said anything that we should remember?
No.
Is there any motto from Rand Paul? Nothing.
No.
Does he stand for anything? No.
No.
He just stands against the Democrats, and what good is that? Well, I'm glad you're listening to my show so carefully. Do you like my message of borders, language, and culture?
Yes.
I think that would sell, don't you think, because it means something?
Absolutely, and it's easy to remember.
Thank you. Very easy to remember. That's why the Republicans dare not come near it. They dare not come near it. George Bush took my motto, by the way, called compassionate conservatism, which I coined, and he ran with it and became president based upon it, and then they wanted nothing to do with me, very much like the Republicans of today. You know, they'll take your ideas and they'll take your money and then tell you to stay out of the door. The tent is not open to you. But to me, the giveaway was Newt Gingrich. He disgraced himself during the last campaign by attacking Mitt Romney mercilessly. And every argument that Newt Gingrich used to undermine Romney was then used by Obama and the Democrats to destroy Romney. You can blame it all on Newt Gingrich. And there he was again. These people just never, ever go away. Never. They just don't go away. If you care to comment on any of the topics I've touched on today, the phone number is 855-400-7282. You can open it up to Ukraine. What should the U.S. do? The answer is doesn't matter what we should do, because we're going to do nothing. To the missing airplane, to the missing president, to the self-deception of the Republican Party, thinking that CPAC means something. You know, there's another story that's very interesting. The Newtown gunman's dad, you know, that terrible monster, Adam Lanza, that psychopath who killed all those children and his mother and then herself. His father gave an interview where he said he wished his son was never born. He said his son was pure evil. Now, it's very interesting, because that doesn't play along with Harvey Weinstein's script or the American Psychological Association. Weinstein wants to ban guns. He's blaming guns. The medical establishment doesn't want to tell you that psychoactive drugs should be banned in young children, because they actually make the condition much worse rather than better. But the father actually said that his son, Adam Lanza, couldn't get any more evil, and he wishes his son hadn't been born. This is shocking to the liberals, because they don't believe in good and evil. They don't believe in value judgments to begin with. They believe it's all because of, well, they don't know yet, but it's probably due to a white Republican who wears a cross. They're not quite sure they can blame that on Adam Lanza. But if only to get rid of those pesky guns, why, none of this would have happened. Pete Alonzo was the father. He said his son, 13 years old when a psychiatrist diagnosed him with Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism not associated with violence. But listen to what the father said, and don't blame me. He believes that the syndrome, quote, veiled a contaminant that wasn't Asperger's. He said, I was thinking it could mask schizophrenia, said Pete Alonzo. A spokesman for the father, Peter, said he would not be commenting further. Pete Alonzo said to the New Yorker magazine that as a young child, his son was, quote, just a normal little weird kid who used to spend hours with his father playing with Legos. But as he grew older, Adam's mental health problems worsened, according to Connecticut State Police documents. A Yale University professor diagnosed Lanza in 06 with a profound autism spectrum disorder with, quote, rigidity, isolation, a lack of comprehension of ordinary social interaction and communications, while also showing symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder, the documents show. And then he went to middle school, and the father said it was crystal clear then that something was wrong. The social awkwardness, the uncomfortable anxiety, unable to sleep, stress, unable to concentrate, having a hard time learning, the awkward walk, reduced eye contact, you could see the changes occurring. After the killings, police investigators discovered that Adam Lanza had written violent stories as a child and later became interested in mass murders. Did you hear that? The father said, with hindsight, I know Adam would have killed me in a heartbeat if he had had the chance. I don't question that for a moment. Pete Alonzo said he has searched psychiatric literature on mass killers to try to understand what happened. He was asked how he would feel if he could see his son again. He said, quite honestly, I think I wouldn't recognize the person I saw. He'd be a stranger. He said he wished his son had never been born. He said, that didn't come right away, Pete Alonzo said about that statement, but that's not a natural thing when you're thinking about your kid. But God, there's no question. No question, he said, there can only be one conclusion when you finally get there. That's fairly recent, too, but that's totally where I am, that his son should not have been born, that he was born evil. Now, that goes back to something that many of you don't want to accept anymore with the modern psychiatric analysis of behavior. You don't want to believe there's such a thing as good and evil inherent in people. But I've come to believe in my lifetime that there are some people who are born who are no damn good, just born evil. Goes back to the old argument of nature and nurture. The liberal idea is that no one is evil, that man is a product only of his environment and, you know, slipped through the cracks kind of garbage, that somehow we failed him. Well, we didn't fail him at all. We didn't fail that kid. He killed a bunch of children. He was pure evil. He was no good. And the video game manufacturers, in my opinion, are as responsible as anything else. But you don't hear Harvey Weinstein saying he's going to make a movie about the evil video game manufacturers. No. The great Harvey Weinstein, the opposite of the Bielski brothers, who fled into the woods of Poland to survive and had to get guns to survive as Jews on the run. No, he's going to attack gun manufacturers, the very thing that he shouldn't be doing. That's the difference today. That's the world we live in. But I truly believe that there are people who are born no good, just rotten. No good. I've seen it when my kids were young. I saw that they were evil children. Just no good. The kind of child who would hurt other children for no reason. The kind of child who would steal from other children for no reason. And frankly, no matter what you did, they were still no good. And they either wound up as lawyers or politicians. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, my God, what rhythm. It's beautiful. What do you want from me? I love this music. I was explaining to someone over the weekend, the one person I talked to for 3 minutes, why this rock and roll is so beautiful compared to the filth of today. When you think about it, it was the zenith of popular music in many ways, which is why it's still popular. Women were idolized or put on a pedestal, right? And it was all about the beauty of women, the purity of women, how men loved women. And then along came the gravel girdies of American society, the so-called feminists, who said, we don't need you to glorify us. Go to hell. We don't need you to put us on a pedestal. We're okay without you. And as a result, along came the rap stars who treated them like worms and ground them into the earth. That's what I said to somebody. I don't know whether you agree with me. But it's a product of the times, which is why women have been debased. It's not that the music debased women. The women's movement debased women. And then the music followed that. I don't blame the musicians. They're not that bright. No, no, I blame the women's movement, who are very bright. They debased women, and the music followed. Anyway, let's go back to the stories of the day. Bill on the Internet from Connecticut on the Adam Lanza tragedy. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think the fault clearly lies with the parents of Adam Lanza, because he was disabled. He was emotionally disabled for a long time, and he was mainstream. He was in the public school system. The public school system probably had other availability for him. I know I'm only recently in Connecticut, but I was from New Jersey, and they had schools for people like that where he would have been with others with a similar background.
So here what he's saying is maybe the parents didn't want him to be sent there. They said, no, not my son. He's not going to go there, right? And they insisted that the general schools take care of their sick son.
Well, it isn't that so much, because he apparently he did have a higher aptitude than many students. And the attitude of the parent is, my child is just as smart as anybody else. It's the school that's at fault. And that's...
Yeah, I agree with you. That's right. They dump it all on the schools today. It's like every problem is the school's fault. Well, you're right. There should be, there probably are special schools for children who are so emotionally disturbed that they can't get along with others. But there's been a movement to integrate them back into the school. There was a big theory about that, which is that you don't want to make them feel bad. You don't want to isolate them. You want to put them into the general school system. And everyone else has to basically fit in around them. That's what's going on in our schools today.
Yeah. Well, I worked in a school system in New Jersey here again. It's a little different than Connecticut, where they were all students like that, and everybody had the same. It was really a classified as a disability, and at no time were these people thought to be mainstream with other students.
Well, you see, that's something that needs to be looked into. In other words, did the Lanza parents refuse to send their child to a special school or a school for children as disturbed as this? I don't know what the fact of the matter is, but schools are not supposed to be mental hospitals, okay? I have great compassion for the mentally disturbed, because I don't want to go into it, but I do. Not every time I say it do I have to qualify why. But that doesn't mean that the entire society is at fault either. Next caller, KVOR. Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I wish you well.
I can use the blessing. What's on your mind tonight?
And it occurred to me that as we lose those, we become neo-slaves.
Which, you mean as we lose what? Borders, language, and culture?
Right. If we lose those, we become nothing more than slaves to the...
That's right. We are slaves. We've been enslaved to the New World Order quite a long while, ever since Bill Clinton, at very least. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to remember I said it. You can take every speech given at CPAC over the last... those 4 days, from Thursday through Sunday. Tell me what anyone said that you remember. Did anyone say anything that you remember or that you hadn't heard before? No. So you can wrap all of their speeches up in a little bundle and drop them down a well. That's what they're worth. And now you know why Michael Savage has never been invited to a CPAC event. Because it's run by a group of lobbyists. Lobbyists and neocons. Lobbyists and neocons. It's their place. It's a lobbyists' convention for the mainstream Republican view. It has nothing or little to do with conservative values or American values in the truest sense of the term, American values. Because there must be more to a meeting than getting elected. I don't know what they met for. They had a nice time, they had dinner, they had drinks, they slapped each other on the back, they gave each other awards. But at the end of it, no one even knows who spoke there. And then a straw poll was done, a Rand Paul one. Well, I wish him a lot of luck. I'd rather see him win than Hillary. But on the other hand, I don't think he's electable. Why? Because I didn't hear him say anything that I can remember. How about borders, language, and culture, Rand? Take that phrase and steal it. Borders, language, and culture. You could even say one of the great Americans created it. I don't need the credit. All we need is a real patriot to win.
Savage.